know that I mentioned before, that passage, Matthew 16:19, where Peter is supposed to be the rock, etc., and the power of binding and loosing was given to him. You'll notice here, also in the Gospel of Matthew, it's given to everybody. Okay, it's given to the community. All right. So that should put the skids to clericalism in the church, but it doesn't seem to have made much a dent on most of us most of the time. Years ago, I think the Beatles had it exactly right when they wrote that song, "If you only have love, or all you need is love. All you need is love, period. All you need is love." It's the Jacques Brel song that if we only have love, I think. That's all. Paul puts it as clearly as could be in this passage that Chris read. Love is a fulfilling of the law. Love is a fulfilling of everything. Of course, we all know love is one of those waxy words that sort of slips and slides around, and it's very hard to pin down. So I'd like to give some coordinates to understanding what love is about. I think the most important one is from the Gospel of Matthew, the great judgment scene. The whole meaning of our existence is measured by how we have responded to the people around us in need. I was hungry, you fed me. I was in jail, you visited me. I was a stranger, you took me in. And then that glory, when did we do all that stuff? To you. As long as you did it to the least of these, my sisters or brothers, you did it to me. So that's what love is. That's one way of talking about love, the most important way of talking about love. That kind of responsiveness. So you don't look for rewards, you don't look for brownie points, you don't look for anything. You just are going through the world responsive and aware of the world that you live in. And of course, in the Johannine literature, in Paul's too, you have another specification of the meaning of love, and that's from the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, which everybody knows and loves so much. It's a standard wedding thing. If I speak with the tongue of men and angels but do not have love, then I am useless. The context for that is very important because he was talking about the deeply religious people in Corinth who could speak in tongues and were contemptuous of the people who could not speak in tongues. It is extraordinarily important to see that clarifying note that Paul gives, totally consonant with this passage from Romans. And then, of course, there are the great lines from 1 John. Wherever love is, God is present. Wherever love is. Love understood in the Matthaean and the other Pauline sense. Wherever love is. See, this is, we get so lost in the minutiae of religion. It's so easy to substitute some kind of religious practice for love. And we do it all the time, and we pile up images and laws and doctrines. You'll notice that Jesus did not say, "Did you sign on to the creed?" in the judgment scene. There's no doctrinal questions to be asked. There's no examination about whether you went to church all the time or whatever, or you prayed all the time. You simply, were you responsive? Were you responsive to people in the world that you inhabit, that you live in? You know, we could spend the entire church year doing nothing but repeating that reading, right, from Paul. Why is this so pivotal? Well, then again, you look at how does love build? Love is according to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jesus, all the prophets, blah, blah, blah. It's not just a fulfillment of the law, but it's the ultimate expression of my own freedom. See, we in the West continue to suffer under that terrible burden of romanticism, which says that love is something that happens to me. Love walked in, another great song. Love walked in. Love doesn't walk in. Love is a matter of my choosing. As any parent knows, as anybody who's married for more than 3 days knows, love is a choice. Love is a completion of my freedom. So what is freedom? Freedom is the ultimate act of my self-constitution. Who I am. I am what I choose. I build my life along the trellis, if you will, of freedom to be there for anybody and everybody. Full stop. I mean, we're all familiar with love as a kind of mutual defense treaty, you know. Molly and me and baby makes three, and me and my buds are going to get together and really love each other, you know, so we can defend ourselves against all those other buggers out there. No. That's, I think, another kind of standard understanding of love among us. You know? Love is this radical openness to the other. Above all, to the other in need. That's why Jesus was so definitive and so insistent on the regard for the poor. Because I think that's the acid test of love. Loving your enemies, that's pretty good too. But love which enables me to see the poor as my co-human beings, and to see that everything I have and am is to be shared with them. That's freedom. That and that alone is freedom. Again, we have this idea that freedom is everybody getting out of my way so I can do what I want. No, the standard Western understanding of freedom. No. Freedom is a capacity to be utterly permeable to the world, to the other, to all the others, especially the invisible others. The invisible others. And so we have, finally, a criterion where we can judge the authenticity of anything we call Christian or religious. And this alone is the absolute criterion. Do I love in this large, open, generous sense? Do I love? And of course, this just opens up ultimately the whole meaning of the life of Jesus and what we are called to. You only can have that kind of freedom if you believe that you are loved in the first place. Love is not some kind of bootstrappery, you know, pulling myself out, making will acts. No. Love grows only out of the conviction and exists only to the extent that I am convinced that I am loved by God, if I am free from the normal egotism, self-centeredness, self-preserving instinct which marks the rest of our life. Only to the extent that we believe that we are loved by God. And that's hard. That's hard. It does not, that love does not walk in either. It means I have to be attentive to my life, to who I am, to what I do, to what I want, and why I want it. But that's why I say that love is a consummation of our own reality as free human beings. And we are ourselves only to the extent that we are free in that sense.